All right, I'm Dane Young with Jim Donnan here on UGASports.com. And Coach, typically you're being interviewed by our guest today, but the tables are turned.
Yeah, I mean, for 20-some years, I've had a chance to be interviewed by Paul, and very fortunate to be involved with him as a friend and as a compatriot trying to analyze football and everything else. But we go back a long ways and appreciate Paul being with us today.
Coach, it's my pleasure. You've been one of my favorite people of all time. And, well, of course, I don't have any other friends. But other than that, I'm really I am really looking forward to this because I have leaned on you more times than I'll admit publicly.
Yeah, we had a show back when you were doing the radio, and then when you went on the SEC Network, I've been on a few times. But, hey, you know, the thing about our fans is they get a chance to watch your show every day, and you certainly have – so many great guests and everything, but I'm going to have a chance here today to maybe ask you a few things about what your feelings are about what's going on with college football, and won't ask you anything about politics because I know you got a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
All right, right off the bat, what's your take on the transfer portal?
Coach, I think that is issue number one facing – college football right now, and in particular the SEC. You've got as good a sources as I do, and I bet it's going to be a while before the SEC comes up with a decision, because you may know the votes, but I think it's pretty split right now among the old guard, who is not about to let that go and let players in the SEC transfer without sitting out, and then there's a new crowd. So it's a big deal, though. It may not be getting as much attention as the CFP, but I think it's probably a much bigger internal issue.
Yeah, there's no question about that, because, you know, the really good teams, the kids aren't going to leave if they're first or second team, but, the lesser teams, you're going to see a lot of that, and they try to build their programs up, and you just really don't know. But how about the playoffs right now as they stand? You know, four-team playoff, I know every coach you have on there has got an opinion. You have a chance to talk to Bill Hancock from the college football playoff. Where do you think we're trending on that?
I think we're getting close. And right now here, you know, everything does not revolve around the SEC, but in this case, I think it does, because, you know, Greg Sankey is very influential. And I think what he does with the new commissioner at the ACC, Jim Phillips, I think will tip the balance, because the ACC and the SEC are not in need of more teams, Coach. Right now, they're in pretty good shape, as evidenced last year and pretty much every year. But I think it's as much of a college football playoff issue as it is a television issue. And, you know, where I work and where you have worked, ESPN, they hold the cards right now. Do they want to, you know, take this down to the end and let an open bidding process? Probably not. This is a company that just spent a lot of money on the NFL, the NHL, and I suspect in order to be the only bidder, they'll open the window here in short order, and we'll see an expansion perhaps in 2 years.
Paul, across sports, we're seeing just a lot of, I guess, creativity, but an abandonment of some tradition in the search of eyeballs. You're seeing it with the NBA, with the play-in tournament for teams. Do you see college football ever getting a bit kind of strange and weird, considering the heritage of the sport, in terms of playoffs, of doing something a little bit different?
Well, I think, when you heard the story last week, Dane, about 12, that's the only way it would work is to have an opening round. I think right now it's possible, because the current system, even though it's probably identified the best team every year, it's not only about that. What makes the NFL so great? It's who's going to get in the playoffs, final 2 or 3 weeks of the season. Is it home field? There's always a story. And let's be honest, in college football, there's really not. You know, Alabama's going to be in. You know, Georgia's either going to be in or not. Clemson's in. Ohio State's probably in. And then it's Oklahoma or somebody else. And you just have to create, you have to open. I mean, I don't want to go into everything has to be inclusive, because that's in the realm of politics. But I think you have to, in today's world, let more people under the tent. And right now, it's a pretty elite group.
That's why I'm pushing for promotion and relegation, like in soccer. Let's get the Sun Belt teams up if they're champions. And, you know, if you're bad in the SEC, there should be consequences.
Well,
I'm not going to be
party to any conversation where somebody says that we, you know, the SEC is bad. You and I both know that's not going to happen.
Hey, let's talk about the SEC and let's talk a little bit about Nick Saban and his lieutenants that are in the league now. Yeah. And in particular, two guys that seem to have it going maybe a little bit better than anybody else as far as challenging. What's your take on Jimbo Fisher? And then we'll talk about Kirby in a second after you answer that. How do you feel Jimbo? What's the imprint he's made and what's the future there for the A&M Aggies?
I think it's really good. And Coach, I know a lot of people think this team is going to be the same as last year. I'm not 100% sure of that. They do have Alabama at home, and that's a tremendous advantage. But, you know, they did lose a lot. I say that with caution because I do think Jimbo is at that next level after Saban. I think he's that good. And it has been, when you win a title, you've been on national championship teams, you've coached national championship teams, it puts you in a different conversation than everyone else. It's that one thing you don't have to get over. It's like winning a major in golf. And I think that gives him an advantage, but I also think his recruiting is phenomenal. He's also got an athletic department where there simply is no budget. So when you can spend as much as they spend, and, you know, as A&M will spend and will continue to spend, then it's going to be a tremendous advantage.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you too about A&M maybe dropping off a little bit. It's hard to have a quarterback that started for 4 years and played as much as he wanted. And we know the way that Jimbo really relies on the quarterback at the line of scrimmage and all the stuff they do. So I think that's going to be the real key for them is how quick can their quarterback surface. And then, of course, our fans here, are all about the Bulldogs and Kirby Smart. And you've known him when he was over there at Alabama, and you've seen how quick a change he's put into the program. But just from a perspective of the SEC outside our own people, what do you think the take is on Kirby, and what do you think the future is for the Dogs?
Well, yeah, I don't listen to the outliers that much, Coach. I think Kirby Smart is the second best coach in the SEC. And, you know, I would be pretty shocked if we don't see a national championship in a couple of years, you know, whether it's this year or next. I mean, it's like going to the stock market and picking the right stock. You don't know. There's always a lot of things that can happen. But, you know, he has built such an enormously successful program. And he's done it the way you have to do it, through recruiting. And he has a lot of advantages. And I think he's taken advantage of that. And not to get too deep into the future here, but I think if you look at the name, image, and likeness, you know, who will benefit the most? I think Kirby Smart's program will probably be at the top of that list because they have a lot of natural advantages. And Atlanta is to me the most important. You can, you know, you land at Hartsfield and you're on the campus in an hour and 15 minutes. That matters as opposed to, you know, some of these places that you and I have tried to get to from nowhere. And it's such, you know, Georgia is a, you know, such an important state. The alumni base is, you know, unmatched. And on top of it all, and I say this with great jealousy, because I don't ever like to answer like, what's your favorite campus? What's your favorite college town? Athens, Georgia is the best college town in America. I mean, that's not open for debate. And I love where people at Vanderbilt, I interviewed Clark Lee a couple weeks ago and said, you know, we have the advantage of Nashville. Nashville is a great city, but you don't think about Vanderbilt when you head down to Broadway. But, you know, I'll never forget 2 years ago, Coach, I was down there for twice in the same season. And, you know, I don't normally like to go out, but, you know, some friends convinced me. We went down to, down to downtown Atlanta, and walking around at 11 o'clock at night, I was in utter amazement at what I saw. Friendly kids. And every time I would talk to, and I stood there for 20, 30 minutes talking to co-eds and guys and ladies that went to UGA. And I mean, it was like, I mean, I don't want to sound the wrong way, but it's like they're part of a cult. I have never run into a group of young people that love going to a university more. That matters when it comes to recruiting.
Paul, with the name, image, and likeness stuff coming to light, how's that going to impact the, I mean, we know it's going to topple recruiting a little bit, but just in terms of program building, how much more, I guess, does that put on a coaching staff at that point?
Well, I think the smart ones already have this figured out. I mean, it's like the pandemic last year. Man, I was really surprised to find out that Nick Saban won the national championship, because on March 12th, when everybody was sent home and I interviewed all these guys, Kirby Smart's home watching Netflix with his kids, and this Jeremy Pruitt's home with his kid. Guess where Nick Saban was? He never left his office. I mean, it didn't matter whether there were state laws or city ordinances. He stayed there. He coached. He gained an advantage, and he won. And good for him. Put him in jail because he did what he wanted to do. And yeah, at UGA, I'm willing to bet that Kirby Smart's got a really intelligent plan. I've heard about it already, and they'll win. They'll take advantage of it. I mean, there's some schools that can't take advantage of anything, but that's not going to be the case at UGA.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good situation for UGA. Like you mentioned, Atlanta, just such a natural hub, you know, for the whole South, but certainly so many places for Georgia to reach into. You know, another name that comes up in the league, and the guy's been here as a coach at Mississippi State, and now the Gators, and really turned it around pretty quick, but then fell apart at the end of the year. What do you think about Dan Mullen and where the Gator program is going at this point?
Coach, I was really shocked by Dan Mullen last year. It was kind of the best of times, the worst of times, not to quote literature here, but I'm not sure where that program is. I'm not saying it's not going to win. It's the University of Florida. I mean, you've got to really work hard to screw that place up. And quite frankly, we've seen a couple of coaches who worked very hard and they did screw it up. Mullen, I don't think recruits well enough. I'll leave it to you to explain why he has not been able to be on that same level as Kirby and Nick Saban, or even Jimbo Fisher. I mean, he may be in the top 10, but there's a difference between 1 and 10. It's a difference between winning a national championship and losing 2 or 3 games. And I thought he just stepped in it so many times last year. And you know, why is that? I think Dan sometimes just talks and, you know, lets his mouth overload everything else. And that happened. And I thought the way the season ended was, quite frankly, embarrassing. Do I think they'll be back? Yeah, they'll be back. But, you know, Gator fans aren't really happy getting to Atlanta. I mean, Jim McElwain went there twice, and he was a clown of a coach. So, they're used to winning. You know, Spurrier won, Urban won. Dan Mullen, we still don't know yet.
Yeah, I think that he had that pretty well set up. And from the standpoint, they had it rolling last year and then, folded. You know, any way you look at it, if you lose your last 3 games at a major program, it really puts you behind the 8 ball as far as everything, as far as building in the future. But let's also talk about some teams outside our periphery here just for a second. The 3 teams that everybody talks about, Oklahoma, not in any order, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Clemson. Where do you see these 3 teams going as far as the national projection, and what do you think of their coaches?
I think Oklahoma has a real shot this year because of Rattler, and I think Lincoln has really been a phenomenal coach. And I may say this a couple of times as we move along, I am really impressed with Ryan Day, and how can you not be? After Alabama, there's no better recruiting magnet than Ohio State, and I would expect them to continue to challenge. I think the question I have, it may sound a little strange, is, you know, is this Clemson program built forever? I mean, will something happen? What could cause Clemson to quit getting to the playoffs every year? And it would be what has to happen is a threat from within. Now, is it going to be North Carolina? I don't think so. They're good. They're really good. But I don't think North Carolina is ever going to knock Clemson off. And the question is, can Florida State? And that's a mystery. If Florida State can get better, you and I both know, Coach, how dangerous that recruiting base is down there.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Somebody's got to start challenging them during the regular season. They've had some upsets, you know, where they lost inexplicably to Pittsburgh or something like right. that. But, you know, you just got to feel like that, that it's just a 10, 11, 12 game win season every year for that team. And the same thing for Ohio State. You know, last, you know, you look at his pro drafts and the teams that like Oklahoma played against 12 guys last year that got drafted. Now, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State, very similar, but I agree with you on those two guys. And I want to make sure that we get that point across. But, you know, another thing that is kind of a history in your background is, you know, all the coverage that you've had over the years with Coach Bryant and going all the way through all these coaches. But so what exactly is your relationship with Coach Saban at this point?
It's good, but I don't see him much anymore, Coach Donnan. When I was in Alabama, I saw him a lot. We talked a lot. But yeah, we communicate occasionally. I think it's a good relationship. I've not been afraid to challenge him in the past. I mean, we had that infamous showdown at Media Days, 5 years ago, when I think he was really caught off guard, and I got widely blasted for it. But I really felt very strongly that he was covering up a situation, and I let him know it. And we got through it, and I will criticize him again. But right now, there's almost nothing to criticize. He's above every. He's at the top. I wonder. Because I do this, I've done this now almost 40 years. You know, where is the exit? I covered Coach Bryant's last 2 years. I saw it ended rather sadly and badly. I've seen it with countless other coaches, as you have. Doesn't matter. Just throw a dart. You'll find the coach. And I just don't think Nick Saban is prepared for what happens next. And I don't see it changing. But Coach, it always does. Something happens. Is it a little thing? Is it a big thing? More than likely, he will leave Alabama over a little bitty thing, that somebody will slight him. So, you know, he'll lose a game or two, and he'll find out it's just not much fun winning. It's not much fun coaching when you lose a game or two every year.
And your show will be entertaining that day, whenever that is.
Well, I will say this: I never. In spite of my the accusations that I'm a sycophant for Saban. Probably some of the most memorable shows we've ever had were after Alabama losses. And I don't root for that, but you take what you get. I can recite you every loss Saban's had at Alabama because they're so few and so memorable.
Well, having lived in Opelika for 4 years, I know that your name is a bit of a cursed one around there at times for some of those fans. Other times, not so much.
Sure.
I'm curious what you think of Brian Harsin, because that was a bit of a definitely outside the South hire.
I like it. Malzahn was just a bad marriage. I mean, you have a good year, a bad year, an indifferent year. Should we break up? By the way, I've never been divorced, so I'm talking just from reading novels and watching sitcoms. Harsin to me just seems like he's not really affected by, all the outside noise. And it looks like he actually cares too. I think Malzahn, beat Saban a couple of times, and it didn't look like anything really fazed him other than collecting that rather large paycheck.
Yeah, he certainly did that. He did beat Nick three times, and Freeze beat him twice, but everybody else is having a hard time with it. But a couple other new coaches in the league that we might mention, Beamer and Clark Lea. What's your take on those two?
I like Clark Lea. I think this program will improve. I mean, Coach, let me ask you, you're a mathematician. If they double their wins from last year, how many wins will they have?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, they could get two more. I think the guy's got a good background, that's for sure. You know, he's been around it, but it's such a difficult job when you look at all the guys that have been in there and worked at it. But same thing with, I thought
Shane,
Muschamp was a good hire there, but for some reason he caught Clemson and Georgia when they were at their zenith. But this is going to be a tough road for Shane Beamer.
I don't think Shane Beamer has any enough players. I ran into a friend of mine recently. He's a Gamecock, and he was in practice a couple weeks ago. I won't mention his name because it would be recognizable. And I said, well, what'd you see? He said, I didn't see any players. I mean, coach, when you don't have any players, how do you win?
Yeah, particularly when the guy might have been if a reporter can see that for sure. And I think a lot of these reporters can definitely pick him out. I don't want to pull any punches there. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about is from a perspective here on Georgia, looking at their quarterback situation, and you've seen this over the years, to have a chance, you know, look at Mac Jones. Who would have thought 3 years ago when he was holding extra points that he was going to take him to a national championship? And now we got JT Daniels here. What's the perception of Georgia's offense now that he's the quarterback, and how's it look around as far as the people that you know? How do they feel about Georgia for next year?
I think for most people, they think it's going to be a spectacular year, and it comes down to really one game. And it's not the Clemson game. I think the Clemson game is a free game. You win, and the next thing you know, the expectations are through the roof. You lose, and you know what's ahead of you. I think it's about the SEC championship game. And I say that because I'm not automatically putting Alabama in that game. A&M could win. LSU could win. But I think it's about winning in Atlanta, regardless. And probably, Alabama being the more difficult. And because without that, I think Georgia, the offseason is the same as most every other offseason. But I would put Georgia in the playoff right now. And I think the Pickens injury bothered me as it bothered everyone listening and watching right now. That was a big blow. But I think, you can deal with it when it happens early. And I just would urge Georgia fans not to make the Clemson game a referendum on Kirby Smart. It's not. It's a big game. It's essentially a road game because of where it's being played. I live in Charlotte. And I've driven to both Athens and Clemson. You get to Clemson a lot faster.
Yeah, one thing about it that everybody needs to remember, the last game Clemson played, they had 6 touchdown passes thrown against them, and they lose. They lose some of those players. I mean, Clemson's a good program, and I got a lot of respect for Dabo and Venables and all that. But, it's going to be a matchup of two teams trying to get some identity for the season, but the whole year's ahead of both teams. And the other thing that and then I'll let Dane ask you again, Lane Kiffin has made a big move here in the league. He's a very outgoing guy. He's on Twitter. He does everything else. But in your opinion – last year, was Ole Miss any better than they were the year before offensively and defensively? I mean, about the same record. I mean, was there anything to make you think that they're going to be that much better?
No. I mean, you got to remember, the media creates a narrative, Coach. You know it. You've been part of it. I mean, before we became friends, we were adversaries of sorts, and you know how we can do it. You're now part of it. And the media loves Kiffin. They don't look at it objectively. They just, Lane Kiffin, love Lane. Look at that tweet. He hired a really good defensive coordinator, but the defense didn't look any better after 1 year. Will it get better? It better get better this year, or he's going to be hovering at that 6-7 win mark. Because in the SEC, while I realize the paradigm has shifted to offensive explosions, you can't win if you don't have a serviceable defense. You'll just get run over.
Yeah, I mean, that's – they scored a lot of points on Bama, but that's the thing that bothers me is that I don't really see a dramatic improvement like the – I mean, they went to a bowl and had a good win, and he's a good coach. I mean, no question about it.
Yeah, he's a very good coach.
I think they left him some pretty good players, particularly on offense. And go ahead, Dane, and then I'll finish it up.
Yeah, Paul, I just want to know your friendship and history with Coach Don, and how did that kind of come to be?
Yeah, it's interesting. I used to be a lot more negative than I am now. I finally have seen the light. And I remember one time I had Coach on our radio show, and first of all, I couldn't believe he came on. And, you know, he kind of gave it just like he took it. And I respected that. And not long after he left the University of Georgia, we were thrown together at a charity event. I think this was the first time, Coach. We were down in Mobile, Alabama.
Right.
Mike Godfrey was having an event, and I don't gamble, but I'm up for a good time. And we decided to drive over, I think after the event, at about 11:30 in the morning, at evening, I should say, to Biloxi, Mississippi. And I sat next to Coach Don in the back of Mike Godfrey's car. And I will tell you, Dane, I've been to Vegas shows. I've seen Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock. I've seen Jerry Seinfeld. I've never laughed this hard in my life. The guy is one of the funniest people. And I just, I said, this guy, I got to stay in touch with him. And we became really close friends, not just about football, but about, things in our lives. He's helped me immensely through some difficult decisions about what I was going to do next. And, the stuff we do on the air is a small part of it, but, being in Coach Donnan's house a couple of times when I've been over to Athens, just being friendly with him, seeing what he's had to overcome in various situations. I consider him an extremely close friend. He's like family to me, and that will never change.
Hey, I appreciate that, Paul, and I feel the same way. But I would like for you to just end up today about the time that when Georgia played Alabama and you were coming over here to cover, and I said, I need you to come by and see me. And then you went by to see Coach Dooley, but I predicted that game for you, and you said it wasn't going to happen. And all the fans from Georgia are going to get on me about it. But I told you that we were going to get drilled that day. So tell them.
Yeah, I flew over with a couple of my wealthy friends, because they're wealthy. I drive to games. I don't, fly private planes, but it's always good to have a couple of friends. And we went by Coach Don, and Coach, I never watched a game with Coach. I mean, it was a big game. I think Tennessee was playing Auburn that day or somebody, but Alabama was in Georgia that night. Georgia was number one or two. And he said, this is not going to, it's not going to happen. And so the only thing I didn't factor in was I'd also been invited to Coach Dooley's house. And I said, I got to get to Coach Dooley's house. And Coach looked at me like, well, yeah, it's a couple blocks away, but I think he eventually took me. That night we were texting back and forth and calling back and forth. And I said, can you believe it? He said, don't you remember? I told you about this. And that, by the way, one other thing, Coach has done this to me a couple of times. I was on College Game Day my first year at the SEC Network because the SEC had not started yet. And I was in Clemson, and he texted me that morning and said, you need to go on and say that Florida State is just going to destroy Clemson that night. And I did. And of course, everybody laughed at me. Herb Street said I didn't know what I was talking about. Desmond Howard made faces, and Pollock scoffed, and Chris Fowler shook his head. And I think it was like a 50-point blowout that night. So if I would only listen to Coach every time he gives me a suggestion, I probably would be a lot smarter than I appear to be. But he knows football. But not that I'm telling the audience anything they don't already know.
Yeah, I've had a lot of bad picks too. But the one thing that you do, Paul, which I'll give you credit for, you at least reflect on what I say when I try to help you sometimes. And that's good. I mean, one thing about it, being around it as much as I have, you can get a feel for it. But we just want to tell you how much this means to our fans to get an interpersonal type deal with you today. I know you got plenty of things. And from me and from Dane, we really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on Georgia and everything else. And I'm sure that hopefully I'll be on your show here soon, and maybe I can pay you back.
I hope so. No, the pleasure was mine. I had a blast. Coach Dane, thank you so much for inviting me. And I hope Georgia fans realize, and we're not only talking about a Hall of Fame coach here in Jim Donnan, but somebody who is respected and beloved in the industry. Thank you, Coach. It's always a pleasure.